How many know that we serve the one and only risen God? Come on, we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's deserving of our best today. I'm so excited. I want to first give honor to God, and I want to give honor to my bishop in his absence. Bishop, thank you. Hope you're not watching because he's supposed to be on vacation. But if you are watching, Bishop, I want to honor you and thank you for this opportunity. I want to honor all the pastors of the house, and I want to give a special honor to my beautiful wife, Brittany Williams. Thank you so much, babe, just for your support throughout this time. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then I have a video to share with you guys for the start of my message. Hey, so Father God, I want to thank you and again honor you for this opportunity to come before your people and to share this message that you've put on my heart, God. Heavenly Father, I pray that every heart be open to receive from you today, God. I pray that you hide me behind the cross so that the image of God can be shown through the love of his Son, King Jesus, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. This all I ask and pray in your name. Amen. Amen. So if you guys can go ahead and play my video, that'd be great.
Jabari, Abia! Dura me la zin, Wambili! Let the challenge begin! Stand up!
So y'all might be wondering like why I showed that video, but I'm going to get to it. I'll explain it. So we are on a series called Don't Trip. Last week, Bishop talked about not tripping over your anger and your aggression. And today I have the honor of speaking about identity. So the title of my message today is Don't Trip. Know who you are. Don't trip. Know who you are. Honestly, I think that's one of the greatest things that we tend to struggle with is our identity, right? And the enemy has such a strategic way of getting us to question who we are, to question what God has called us to do. And when he does that, because he does it so strategically, he gets the upper hand. right? But once we come into that understanding of who exactly God calls us to be, then we get the upper hand. I love this. It's funny because every time Britt and I watch a movie, we joke about it because I always get a word. I always get a message about that movie. So as I was preparing for this message, this scene came to mind. And we see the Queen Mother. She's T'Challa. He's fighting. The movie's called Black Panther, by the way. Prince T'Challa is fighting in this battle for his throne, right? And we see on the sideline, there's the Queen Mother and the princess. And as Prince T'Challa is getting defeated, or it seems like the enemy has the upper hand, we see the Queen Mother shout out, "Show him who you are. Show him who you are." And then the Lord gave me an image like the Queen Mother and the princess is Jesus and the God the Father standing on the sideline. And we have the body of Christ as King Jesus, the body of Christ being Prince T'Challa. And right now it seems that the enemy may have the upper hand. We went through a year where they tried to close us down. They tried to shut us up. And the response was, show them who you are. Show them who you are. Show this nation who the body of Christ is. Show them the power that you have. But I feel that sometimes we struggle with that. We struggle with knowing exactly who we are. So today, my hope is that I could have the opportunity of sharing just a few things. Because if I were to share with you everything that the Lord says about us, we'd be here for another year. But I just want to share with you a few things that the Lord put on my heart to talk to you about. You know, being in ministry for a very long time, since I came to the Lord, I've had the opportunity of speaking with people just about identity. And many of the times, myself included, I would put my identity in my ability, right? So in what I could do. If you were back in high school and college, if you were to ask me, "Eric, who are you?" The first thing I would say is, "Oh, I'm a track star. I'm a runner. That's what I do. That's who I am." But there came a time where that was taken from me. And I'm sure all of you are aware, it's been shared before, that I was in this major car accident in 2015. And the Lord performed a miracle. He did. He got me out of that car accident. I could have lost my life. But when I reflect on that entire experience, I think the greatest miracle that was performed was me finally coming into my identity. Right. So like I said, I thought I was a track star. That's who I was. That was my ticket out. That's it. That was me. But once that was taken from me, it hit me hard. I didn't know who I was. I struggled with depression. I struggled with thoughts of suicide, because for me, if I didn't know who I was, there was no point in living. Right. But then I had to come to the understanding of the Lord knows who I am. And if I'm struggling with that, I need to get face to face with him. I need to get on my knees. I need to spend time with him in his presence for him to give me the understanding of exactly who I was. But the struggle is, many times when we don't know who we are, we go and try to find it at different places, like going to find it in the world. And we try to hang out with different people to try to figure out who we are. Or we bounce from job to job because one job isn't satisfying me. One job isn't helping me fulfill my purpose. So we're constantly moving, constantly bouncing through different areas of our lives, but we never take the time to get face to face with King Jesus. It's like, Lord gave me this analogy too, it's like going to a Dell shop asking them to tell you about a MacBook. If I go to the Dell shop, they might be able to tell me a few things about this MacBook and about how it works, but I'll never get the full and complete understanding of that MacBook unless I go to an Apple store, right? So we can go into the world and we can try to find who we are. They might tell you, "Oh, you're really good at this," or "You might fit in here," but we'll never really know exactly where the Lord is calling us or our full purpose and potential in life if we don't sit face to face with King Jesus. So again, like I said, I want to just share with you a few things that the Lord has placed on my heart about identity, about who he says we are. And my root verse is going to be from Galatians 3:26 and 29. It's going to be on the slide if you don't have it. If you do have it, go ahead and take out your Bibles. And it reads, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So the very first thing that I see in here is he is calling us sons and daughters. Okay, we are all sons and daughters of King Jesus. Now, if we really knew what that meant, I think it might be a little bit louder in here. If we knew what it means to be called a son and a daughter. A son and a daughter of King Jesus, a son and a daughter of the creator of the universe, of the man that holds all the power in his hands. I think if we really had an understanding of what that meant, we might be a little bit louder, but I don't want to push y'all too soon or too much. I'm just going to let y'all sit in that. I'm going to let y'all think about that for a little bit, what it means to be a son and a daughter. If you can go to the next slide for me. Being a son and a daughter means we have been adopted into the royal family. Right, we have been adopted into the royal family, which means we are no longer orphans. We are no longer orphans. We have to step out of operating in the orphan spirit. And what that means is operating out of a spirit of rejection, operating out of a spirit of brokenness, operating thinking that we have to do it all by ourselves and that we're all alone in this. Right, we have to step out of that because, again, we're called sons and daughters, which means that we have somebody that is looking over us, that is watching over us, that is covering us, right? And we don't have to do this thing by ourselves. But when we operate out of the orphan spirit, we feel like we have to. When we operate out of the orphan spirit, we act out of rejection or feeling like we're rejected, act out of offense. But God wants to break those things off of our lives today. He wants us to be able to walk freely in our identity as a son and as a daughter. Being that we're sons and daughters, that also means that we're brothers and sisters. And again, that means that you've got people here in this building that are willing to do life with you, that are willing to walk with you, that are willing to hold your arms up when you feel like you're getting weak, that are willing to pray for you, pray with you, pray on your behalf. It's an amazing thing to know that we have brothers and sisters that are with us and willing to do life with us. The next point that I want to make here is that the world is waiting for you. The Bible talks about in Romans 8, 19 through 22, that all of creation waits for the adoption of sons to be revealed. Okay, as we saw in that video, there was a tribe of people that were standing around watching Prince T'Challa fight. And the Lord gave it to me that that was the earth. They're groaning. They're groaning. They're waiting for us for us to realize who we are, right? For us to realize that we are sons and daughters. They're waiting for that because there's something that happens when we walk in the revelation of who we are. There's something that happens when we walk in the revelation of being a son and a daughter. His word says in Galatians 4, where is it? Galatians 4, 6, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. He sent forth the spirit of his son. So the same spirit that was in Christ Jesus is the exact same spirit that's on the inside of you. So what that means is the things that King Jesus did, the way that he operated while he was here on earth, we should be doing that. And his word also says that we're supposed to do greater than that. Right? But if, again, we never come into the understanding of who we are, we'll never be able to operate in that with that spirit. We'll never be able to operate with the spirit of his son. So we got to move. We got to begin to move in that. We got to begin to move in that identity as a son. You are a son. You are a daughter. You have a father who cares for you, who loves you. And, you know, sometimes we go through things throughout life struggling with that identity as a son because of maybe how your relationship went with your parents here on earth. Maybe how your father treated you or mistreated you. Right, you find it hard to really understand My father rejected me here on earth, so why would a God, or why would someone calling themselves my father be willing to accept me? Or maybe it has nothing to do with your father here on earth, but you just can't seem to understand, why would he love me after the things that I've done in my past? Right? Why would he love me? I'm a wicked person. I don't pray the way I'm supposed to. I don't do what I'm supposed to do. But we serve a God who looks past our faults and comes to us because of our need. So his love is so unconditional. It does not matter what your life looked like before. All that matters is, do you accept him? Are you willing to engage with him? We thank you, Jesus. All right, if you go to my next slide, the next thing that I want to share with you is that he calls us a royal priesthood. Okay, in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. God has called us out of darkness. He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light for us to live and walk that way. But being that we are a royal priesthood, I struggled with this part a little bit because I wanted to really understand the significance of being called a royal priesthood. So I broke the two words up, did a little teaching, broke the two words up, royal, to be royalty. You can take on the identity of a king. Right? And what are the obligations, or what are some of the things that a king can do? A king can make declarations, make decrees, call things into order. Right? If it is a king that was anointed and appointed by God, and he's following God, he's going to call those things in order as that's according to his word. Okay. Then I looked at the word priest. What does it mean to be a priest? Well, if we looked in the Old Testament, the priest was the one who made the blood sacrifice, and they were the ones that were allowed to enter into the most holy place, the holies of holies. So, did a little more research and got the understanding that being a royal priesthood, so understand that in the Old Testament, the kings had to go to the priest to speak to God. And the priest would respond on behalf of them. So being that we are a royal priesthood means that not only do we have the ability to declare things over our lives, to declare and decree things in different areas of our life, but we have the backing of the Holy Spirit to come alongside of us and move with us in those areas. We're a royal priesthood. God is so strategic in calling us a royal priesthood. That's why I believe it's Matthew 18:18. It says that whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven, because he has given you the power to do so. Calling you a royal priesthood, you speak on behalf of the earth, but you speak on behalf of God as well. So again, being that you are a royal priesthood, you have power. You have authority. You have the ability to walk into rooms and shift atmospheres. Right, you have the ability to walk into your job and to see things that are not in order, and you don't have to be all Holy Ghost, but you just walk into a room, and because of the presence that you carry, things have to shift in that place. Because of what you carry, you walk into a family where there seems to be dysfunction, or maybe you walk into your own family where there seems to be dysfunction, and things have to get in order because you're there. That's what it means to be a royal priesthood, to have authority and to have backing of the Holy Spirit and of the power of God. Amen. Come on, that's good. Come on, that feels good. To know that I have the ability to shift things. I have the ability to break things off in the Spirit. I have the ability to call on things that are not as though they are. Come on, I wish you guys would get the understanding of what that means to be a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. My God. Now, the last point that I want to make, if we can go to our last slide, is that you are a holy generation, a holy generation, a holy people. I looked at the word holy. Got some understanding of what it means to be holy. There's so many definitions for the word holy, but there's things like to separate, to be separated, to be kept in secret, to be chosen. The specific word I want to look at today is to be separated. Okay? God has separated his people for a reason. Right? The ending of 1 Peter 2:9 says that he separated you and that he's called you out of darkness to walk in his marvelous light. So God has called us out of a dark place. God has called us out of sin. I know some of us, if we just took a moment to reflect about that, we can think about the places that God has called us from. And he called you out of those places for a reason. He called you out of those places so that you can have power over those places. But understand, he did not call you out of those places for you to go back into those places. That's why understanding who you are as, again, a royal priesthood, as a son of the King of the universe, there are things that you should not engage in. Knowing my identity as a son and as a royal priesthood, there are environments that I don't allow myself to go into. Now, I know somebody might be thinking, come on, Pastor Eric, don't be legalistic or whatever you got to say. And listen, I understand, yes, Jesus hung out with the sinners too. And yes, God may call us to be in those places. But understand, when Jesus was in those environments, he controlled the environment. Okay? You can't go into an environment and be influenced by that environment saying that the Lord called me here. Because actually, he didn't. If the Lord called you into an environment, he's going to give you power over that environment. So if you're walking into environments and find that you're being influenced and being changed because of where you are, then maybe it's time for you to step back a little bit. Maybe it's time for you to get in the face of Jesus a little bit more. And then wait for him to call you into those places, not for you to just call yourself. Now, oh, Lord. Praise God. Jesus. Praise God. Yes, so again, we are royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation. We are sons and daughters. We're no longer slaves. We're no longer slaves. Right? So there's a difference between being a slave and being a son. A slave is told what to do, but a son is given responsibility with the opportunity to choose to do. God's not going to force you to walk in your identity. God's not going to force you to be who actually you know you're supposed to be. Many, many, many people are running away from exactly who God is calling them to be. But again, he's not a God that's going to force you to walk in that. He's not a God that's going to force you to do that. He's a God that, as it says in Revelation, he sits and waits and knocks at the door waiting for you to open. And I just want to encourage you today, man, once you open that door, God can do things that'll change your life, that'll blow your mind, but you have to be willing to engage with him. Are you willing to engage with him today? Are you willing to take on the identity that he has given you before the very foundation of the world? Some of us might be struggling with that thought right now. Some of us might be struggling with, first off, again, how could he choose me? How could he pick me? My past is so filthy. Even right now, my day-to-day is filthy. I know that I should be walking in a different place. I know that I should be walking in a different identity, but why would he want to choose me? Why would he pick me to do that? But again, we serve a God that loves us unconditionally. We serve a God that looks past every fault that we have. And a matter of fact, all of those faults, he's not surprised by them. It might be because of those faults that he's chosen you. It might be because of those faults that he's chosen you so that you can realize when you do begin to walk in that identity that it was him that did it, not you. That it's not by my might, that it's not by my power, but it's by the Spirit of God that's on the inside of me that I'm able to actually be here in this place. If you only knew what my past looked like, if you only knew the things that the Lord brought me out of, you'd be surprised that I'm standing here too. But we thank God that he chooses us. He picks us up. He calls us out of darkness and allows us to walk into his marvelous light. Now, I don't want y'all to think that the Lord is expecting us to be perfect again. Even after he's pulled us out of the marvelous light, sometimes we do trip. But I want to encourage you with this verse. Proverbs 24 and 16. It says, "For a righteous man falls seven times. For a righteous man falls seven times and rises again." So what that means, if I want to relate it to our message, is for a righteous man might trip seven times, but he rises again. Okay, so just because you trip up, just because you make a mistake, doesn't mean that you have to stay in that place. That's what the problem is. That's what I've noticed, is that sometimes we might trip up. We might fall into sin. And then because of the enemy and his strategic ways, he'll get you to believe, oh, you know, you messed up. You might as well just do it again. You might as well just stay there in that mess. You might as well just stay there in that struggle. Right, but the Lord is saying, listen, you can fall seven times, but as long as you get back up and you keep going, I've got your back. I've got your back. You're not going to have to do that by all alone. Come on, I've given you power. I've given you the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Listen, you don't have to stay in that place. You don't have to stay in that struggle, but I'm calling you out of that place. So a righteous man might fall seven times, but he rises again. And again. Never get tired of rising. Doesn't matter how many times you fall, never get tired of rising. So don't trip. Look to your neighbor and say, don't trip. Look to your other neighbor and say, why are you tripping? Don't trip. Come on, we can't trip. We can't trip over our identity. We can't trip over who God says we are. You know, it's vitally important that the people of God understand who we are, because there's a generation coming up behind us, right? There's a generation coming up behind us. And if we don't live this life selfishly, we'll live a life that is saying, listen, the things that I went through in my generation, y'all won't have to go through. I pray that the generation that's coming up behind us won't even have to worry about generational curses, because they're going to be so focused on walking into the generational blessings, right? They're going to be so focused on walking into the generational blessings that generational curses won't be even a part of their vocabulary. So don't trip. Don't trip. Know who you are. You are an heir to the throne of the Lord. You are an heir to the throne. Don't trip, because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't trip, because you are a royal priesthood. Don't trip, because God says that you are not the last, but you are the first. Don't trip, because he says you are not the tail, but you are the head. Don't trip, because he says you are above and not beneath. Don't trip. And one thing that I know about the enemy is that he is an opposer. Right? And the enemy is going to say things that you're not. So I heard a songwriter say, when the enemy tells me what I'm not, I'd say back to him, I am that. And when the enemy tells me what I am, I say back to him, I'm not that. So when the enemy says that you are defeated, you look at him and say, I'm more than a conqueror. Come on, when the enemy says that you are going to die, tell him that because the stripes of the Lord, I can stand here today and declare that I'm healed. Come on, when the enemy says that you are going to lose, tell him, I've got the victory. Come on, when the enemy says that it's over for you, God says not yet. Come on, God says not yet. God's going before you, he's behind you, he's beside you. And as long as I have God on my side, if God be for me, who can be against me? Come on, if God be for me, who can be against me? Oh, if God be for me, who can be against me? I might have 10,000 fall at one side and 1,000 at another side, but nothing's going to touch me. No weapon that is formed against me will be able to prosper because of King Jesus on my side. If somebody in here agrees with me, let me hear you give the Lord a praise. Come on, let me hear you give the Lord a praise. If God be for me, who can be against me? If God be for me, who can be against me? He's mighty. He's mighty. Come on, do you believe it? He's mighty. Come on, do you believe it? He's on your side. Come on, do you believe it? That you don't have to do this life by yourself. You don't have to go through things by yourself. Some of you, might have walked in here today. Some of you might have walked in here today on your last straw. You're saying to yourself, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. You're saying to yourself, things keep coming up against me, and I'm trying to push my way out. But I hear God saying today that he's got your back, that you don't have to give up today, that this does not have to be your last day, but actually let this be the start of a new thing. Let this be a start of a new thing today. Trust God. Believe God. He's got your back. I want to open up the altars. Just if anybody needs prayer today, if anybody needs encouragement. Actually, I want to start it off with offering the opportunity for those of you that may not have accepted the fact that God calls you a son and a daughter. Or maybe you want to get to know that, know him as your father, and you haven't taken that step yet. I want you to make your way up to the altars. The altars are open if you need it. And then I want to extend the opportunity for you to just come to the altar if you're just in need of a touch today. If you're just in need of a touch of love from your Father, he waits for us. Again, he's not going to force you to do anything that you don't want to, but he stands here with his arms wide open. Praise God. Praise God, brother. He stands here with his arms wide open. You're awesome, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a mighty God we serve. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just ask that everybody that is sitting, can you just extend your hand to those that came up here? And just begin to pray for them. Just begin to lift them up. Father God, we worship you today, God. We thank you for every person that has stepped forward today, God. God, whatever it is that they came in here dealing with, whatever it is that they came in here searching for, God, God, I pray that it was found today, God, that their hearts were open to receive whatever it is that they needed today, God. God, I pray that every weight be lifted off of their shoulders. And the only weight that they have to carry is the weight of the Lord, is the glory of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, we ask that you would have your way in this place right now. We ask that you would do what only you can do today, Jesus. Have your way, God. We're going to continue to let the Lord work up here, but we're going to allow everyone to be dismissed today. Thank you guys so much for coming. Thank you for joining us today. I really hope that you guys were blessed. We're going to open up our exits on the left and the right. If you are a new visitor, please see Pastor Nicole over here on your, it's going to be your right side. And again, thank you guys so much for joining us today. God bless you.